We read from Luke chapter 19, and one of my favorite verses in that chapter is verse 10, where the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And the story that we read, the first few verses of it in Luke chapter 19, the story of Zacchaeus, is a wonderful illustration of that truth that none of us go looking for God. He comes looking for us. And he came, as the Bible teaches us, for that one purpose, to look for us and to save us. Save us from Satan, save us from ourselves, save us from the judgment of God, save us from an eternity apart from him, save us from hell. And I say this morning, hallelujah, that we have a Savior that came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'll point out to you this morning that Zacchaeus was lost. He was a sinner. In verse 2, it says that he was chief among the publicans and that he was rich. You go down and read in verse 9, you also read that he was also a son of Abraham. And so Zacchaeus was a Jew that collected taxes for the Romans. He was a traitor, like Judas was. That had lost all his patriotic spirit, that had lost all his religious feeling, and he had sunk so low that he had agreed to collect taxes for the conquering nation that ruled the Jews at that time, the Romans. The fact that he was rich implied that he was a thief. Because if you were a tax collector back in that day, you could charge whatever you want. Things haven't changed that much, but you could charge whatever you want. And if you charge more than was due the Romans, you could pocket the excess yourself. And so Zacchaeus was rich because he made himself rich by cheating his own people. What a despicable, I'm sure this is what his fellow countrymen thought about him, what a despicable, wretched sinner he was. But I want to point out to you, and I know this room is filled with good people this morning, but if we are honest with ourselves, we will have the same assessment of ourselves that the Bible gives of Zacchaeus. Before God's sight, all of us are wretched, wicked sinners. The Bible says that all of our righteousnesses, all the goodnesses that we might have to offer up to our God in his sight are nothing but filthy rags. And if we lay ourselves open, if we lay our hearts open, and we lay our minds open, and we see ourselves as God sees us, we are a sinner who deserves not reward but judgment. A sinner who deserves not heaven, but hell. A sinner who deserves not commendation, but condemnation. A sinner who deserves not love, grace, or mercy, but the punishment of God. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, and if we got what we deserved, all of us would be separated from God forever and ever and ever. But praise God this morning. We're like Zacchaeus. We're the ones that Jesus came looking for. We're the ones that Jesus came to seek and to save. And so you have this wicked tax collector, Zacchaeus. He hears about Jesus. And by the way, that's always the first step. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so he hears about Jesus, and he wants to see him. It tells us in verse 3. You ever wonder why? Why did Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? Was he just curious? He heard everybody else talking about him, and all the crowds were talking about Jesus and the miracles that he worked. I mean, did he want to see a miracle? Was he just bored one day and said, "Well, I don't have anything else to do today. I think I'll go see if I can see Jesus"? I was thinking last night, why are you here this morning? Why are you here? Are you curious? Have you heard? I was at the hospital Wednesday night, and somebody asks me, he said, how's the church going? I said, man, we got big problems in our church. Big problems. And she looked at me and she said, you do? I said, oh, yes, we have terrible problems in our church. We got no place to park. We're running out of places to set people. We just don't have enough room. She said, oh, that kind of problems. I said, yeah, what were you expecting? But why did Zacchaeus go looking for Jesus? And why are you here? Were you curious about what's going on in this place? Were you just bored this morning and didn't have anything else to do, so you came to church? Did somebody make you come? I'll tell you why you're here. Because every single person, like Zacchaeus, is given a desire at some point in their life to come and see Jesus. Because you see, every single person was created with a part of their being. A part of their being that needs to have a relationship with God. A part of their being that will be empty if they don't have that. Look, we were created to fellowship with God. We were created to be His friend. He wanted us, He made us to love Him, and He loves us. And if that relationship is missing in our life, there's an empty part of our life that nothing in the world can fill. Now, people try to jam all sorts of stuff into that spot. And they're sort of like Solomon. They try riches, and they try fame, and they try pleasure, and they try all the things that the world has to offer. But all those things will still leave that spot empty. The only one that will fill that spot, the only one that will give soul satisfaction, is a relationship with God. And that relationship with God only comes by Jesus Christ. You want to know why you're here this morning? You may have come because you were just curious. You may have come because you didn't have any place else to go. You may have come because somebody made you come this morning. But deep down, you're here this morning because your God knew that you needed to get a fresh glimpse of your Savior, Jesus Christ. So Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. The Bible tells us he was little of stature. Jesus always drew a crowd. And because Zacchaeus was vertically challenged, as we'd say today, he had to get ahead of the crowd. I mean, nobody would give him a first row seat. You're Zacchaeus. You're the wicked tax collector. Why do you want to see Jesus? Why are you even here? Nobody would let him in front of the crowd. And so he had to run before the crowd. He had to climb up into a sycamore tree so that he could get a view of Jesus. You know what? People are doing the same thing today. They think they've got to climb up something to see Jesus. And so they climb up on good works. Or they climb up on church membership. Or they climb up on baptism. Or they climb up on tithes and offerings. Or they climb up on their morality. Or they climb up on their decency. Or they climb up on their kindness. Or they climb up on the backs of their parents or their grandparents. It's like in Genesis chapter 11, where the people thought they could get to God by building the Tower of Babel. They said, we'll get to heaven our own way. We won't do it God's way. And people are still doing that today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But we're stubborn. We don't want to do it God's way. We'll say, we'll do it our way. And so we'll try to be good. Or we'll depend on baptism or the Lord's Supper or some other act or deed or something that we can do ourselves rather than admit that we're a sinner and the only thing that can help us is a Savior who comes and seek and save that which was lost. And Zacchaeus climbed that tree. Jesus came. He came to Zacchaeus' town. He came to Zacchaeus' street. He came to Zacchaeus' tree. He looked up. He saw this sinner up the tree. And he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Today Jesus comes and does the same thing. He comes to our town. He comes to our street. He comes to our tree. The things we've climbed up upon, our acts, our deeds, our works, that to get closer to God. And he looks up and he calls us by name. Aren't you glad you got a Savior who knows your name? Aren't you glad you got a Savior that left heaven and knows your name and knows where you live and knows the tree that you are up and comes to that tree? And he looks up and he calls you by name and he says, "Make haste, come down, because I want to abide with you." In John chapter 11, Jesus visited another town, town of Bethany, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. Lazarus had just died, and Martha heard that he was coming. She went out to meet him, and they talked for a while, and then the Bible says, Martha went back to her sister Mary and said, "Mary, Mary, the Master is come, and he calleth for thee. He calleth for thee." And I want to tell you this morning that Jesus hasn't changed. He's come. He's come to where we are. He sought us out. He knows our name. He's calling our name. And I'll tell you the same thing that Martha told her sister. The Master is come and calleth for thee. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Now that's my introduction. Now my message is in chapter 19, verse 6. My message this morning, the points that I want to make, is the response that Zacchaeus made when Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for I want to abide in your house today. I must abide in your house today." When Zacchaeus heard Jesus call him, he did three things. They're all contained there in verse 6. And those are my three points this morning. Number one, it says, and he made haste. He made haste. He didn't waste any time. He didn't say, "Oh, well, I can't come down right now. I'll come down tomorrow, or I'll come down next week, or I'll come down next month, or I'll come down next year." I don't know how fast Zacchaeus went up the tree, but I know how fast he came down. He came down in a hurry. He came down with haste. And when Jesus calls, we need to do the same thing. When he calls, we need to come with haste. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not in the month of June, but now. Now. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The best time that you can come to Christ, the only time that you are guaranteed of, is now. Now. You know, I talked a little bit about it in Sunday school, open assembly. We all had some fun with this guy out in California that made the prediction that the rapture was going to occur at 6 o'clock yesterday afternoon. And you know, we had some laughs about it because nobody knows the time. Nobody knows the day except for God himself. But I pointed out to those in Sunday school, do you know that Jesus could come at any time? He could come before I get through preaching. He could come before the day's over. He could come at any time. There's nothing else that needs to be done. Everything, all the requirements have been filled. There's nothing else on the prophetical calendar that needs to happen. He could come at any time. And so the best time to come to Christ, the best time to answer His call when He calls you by name is now. Now. You see, Satan is the great putter-offer. Satan comes to us when Jesus calls and said, hey, you got plenty of time. You can do it tomorrow. You don't have to do it. Don't let that preacher pressure you. You don't have to do it today. You can do it tomorrow. You could do it next Sunday. You could do it in the month of June. You could even do it in 2012. And Satan will lie, and Satan will give us all sorts of excuses. He'll say, don't rush into it. Think about it a little bit. You always have later. And I'll remind you this morning, later may never come. It may never come. You may not have another chance to come to Christ. You may not have another chance to come to the Savior. You need to do like Zacchaeus. You need to make haste.
Hallelujah.
You need to make haste and come now. And notice the second thing that he did. It says in verse 6, and he made haste and came down. He came down. If he was going to take Jesus home with him, he had to come down out of that tree. And in the same way, we have to come down off of whatever else we are depending upon to make us right with God. We need to come down off of our good works. We need to come down off of our church membership. We need to get down from our baptism and come down from our offerings and come down from our morality and decency and kindness and come down from our heritage. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't get there by anything that you can do. It's not of works, the Bible says. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. So just come on down. I mean, all those things that I mentioned, they're good things to do after you get saved. Amen. I guess you ought to think about that. You ought to be good before you get saved. Huh? You ought to be moral. You ought to be decent. But don't depend on that for your salvation. It won't work. You can be the most moral, decent, kind person that ever existed and still go to hell. In fact, there'll probably be a lot of good people in hell. Because it's not goodness that gets you into heaven. It's Jesus Christ.
That's right. Every day.
Jesus Christ. Make haste. Come down. And then notice what it says. And received him joyfully. He received him joyfully. Zacchaeus says, okay, Jesus, I'll come down. I'll get down out of this sycamore tree. And we need to say the same thing. I'll come down from those things that I'm depending on to make me right with God. I'll come down to those things that I do in my own strength. I'll come down from my works and my deeds and my acts. I'll come down and I'll depend on Jesus and nothing else. I will receive him. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'll say this as kindly as I know how. You're a wretched sinner. In fact, let me just take everybody. We're all wretched sinners. The only difference is some of us are saved and some of us are not. But we're all wretched sinners in the sight of God. And again, I know this room is filled with some mighty good folks. I see how you love each other. I see the kindness that you do toward people you don't even know. And so this room is filled with good people. But your goodness will not get you into heaven. So come down. You're a wicked sinner. Come down off of those things that you're depending on to make you right with God. And come to the only one that can do it. Come to Jesus Christ. Now again, I know that if today is like any other Sunday, most of us here this morning are saved. We've already asked Jesus to be our Savior. But I never hesitate and never apologize for preaching the gospel to save people. Just like that song says, I love to tell the story to those who know it best. For they seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory we sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that we have loved so long. Did you notice the last word in verse chapter 6? And he received him joyfully. Look, if you're a Christian here this morning and you forgot that you're saved and you've forgotten the joy that came when you were saved, I encourage you this morning, get it back. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. I mean, you have any, if Jesus should come today and that trumpet blow and that loud voice from heaven shout out, come up hither. Those that are in the ground are going to rise first, the Bible says. Of course, they got 6 feet further to go than we do, so they got to get a head start. But they're going to rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with Jesus Christ. If you're saved this morning, you get that rejoicing back. You get the fact that you're on your way to heaven and the gladness that comes with it. You get it back. Yeah, I know this old world is a wicked place sometimes, and sometimes the things that happen in this world may try to get us down, but I want you to know you're on the winning side and you're going to get to go to heaven and we're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, you're a sinner that needs a Savior. And Jesus came looking for you. He knows where you are. He knows your name. He knows the tree you're up. And he stands and he calls you by name this morning. And he says, make haste. Come down. I want to abide with you. And you know what? Ever since the day that you got saved, he is abiding with you.
Oh, amen.
The Holy Spirit of God
resides
in every Christian, and he abides with you. And he'll do that for you if you've never asked Christ to save you. Would you do it this morning? I can't think of a better day than this day. I can't think of a better time than this time. Now.
Right.
Now. Now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have a seeking, saving Savior. One who comes to us, calls us. And I pray, Father, that we would heed that call this morning. I pray every single person here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior would see their sin, would see the penalty for that sin, would see the price that Jesus paid on Calvary, and would come and ask Jesus to save them. Father, I pray, just in Holy Spirit, I pray, speak to their hearts this morning. Help them not to put it off any longer. Help them not listen to Satan any longer. Help them to know that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I pray for the Christians that are here this morning. Father, if we need to pray that prayer that David penned in Psalm 51, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I pray, Father, that if we've lost it, we'd get it back. We'd remember what you did for us when you saved us. Took all our sin away. Put on our record in heaven the righteousness, your righteousness, And we stand before you this morning, God, justified just as if we've never sinned. Father, give us the joy back. Give us the joy back. I pray you bless this time of invitation. I pray for every person here that doesn't know Christ, that they would come and receive him this morning. If there's others here that need to make a decision, maybe some for baptism, maybe some for church membership, Father, you know. Help them to be obedient as the Holy Spirit leads. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.